Well, it sure feels good in this house tonight. I'm glad I came to church. Hallelujah. I said, I'm glad I came to church tonight. Hallelujah. Well, we are definitely celebrating with all that God has done and is doing here at Calvary Pentecostal Church. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Boats, I don't want to frustrate you, but it looks like you built a little too small. Hallelujah. 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 And that's okay. Hallelujah. God will give you, He'll give you a plan to put some more people in here. Hey, everybody needs to know about this Jesus. Hallelujah. It really is our honor to be here in service with you. This is my first time to be in this building. My goodness, it is absolutely stunning. Beautiful, every detail of it. We congratulate you, Brother Motes. Your vision, this church, it's obvious that you get behind your pastor. You can't do something like this without a congregation being supportive. Hallelujah. So we give honor to Pastor Sister Motes, the Motes family. We love these people very, very much. So excited to see all that God has done in their lives and how they are leading you in the work of God. So honored to see all the ministry here. God bless all the ministers that are here. Thank you. I know Brother Motes appreciates your being here tonight, and it just adds pressure to me. So thank you. Hallelujah. Of course, you had the best this morning, so you're going to get the leftover bits tonight. Get a little fragments. You got the basketfuls today. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 22, verse 11. It's good to have my wife and daughter here and some people from the church. God bless you for being in the house. I gave this a little test run this morning, but really God gave me this message for this service tonight. I want to share it with you. Genesis 22, 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. I want you to notice verse 14. This is where I'm going to preach from tonight. And Abraham called the name of that place. Everybody say that place. Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. And I want to preach for just a few moments here tonight. This place. This place. Somebody shout this place. Are you thankful for this place? Come on, are you truly grateful for this place? This sanctuary, this church. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. As a kid, I remember traveling with my grandparents, and my grandpa Burr was one of those history buffs. And he loved history. And so there were times that driving down the road, he would see a historical marker on the side of the road. He would pull over and we would stop and he would look at that marker. And in fact, historical markers are scattered throughout the United States of America. There are tens of thousands of historical markers that states erect in places of great importance to state or even national history. There are over 95,000 properties listed by the National Register of Historic Places, and these places have been designated as special, as something important in the nation or the state or that community's history. And they may be private homes, they may be civic buildings, they may be courthouses or churches or even battlefields, but they are designated and remembered as a certain place where an important event or person lived. And I want to tell you tonight at the onset of this message that this place that you're in tonight, this physical building is a special place. It is a hallowed place. It is a place where heaven meets earth. It is the place where you come and receive the bread of life. It is the place where you come to an altar and repent of your sins and are baptized in the name of Jesus and come up speaking in other tongues. This place. Oh, I wish I could get somebody to praise God for this place. Oh, I know you've worked hard. You've raised a lot of money. You've gone to a lot of effort. But this place is more than just a building we come to on Sunday. This is the sanctuary. This is the sanctuary for Hot Springs, Arkansas. This place. Throughout the Word of God, we see particular places that are set aside. They are remembered. They are named specifically because of great events that took place. In Genesis 28:19, Jacob names the place where he dreamed of a stairway or a ladder that came down from heaven. And there at that place, angels ascended and descended. And Jacob named it the house of God, Bethel. And it was the response of this encounter he had with God. It was a special place. It was a set-aside place. It was a memorialized place. In Genesis 32:30, after wrestling with the angel, Jacob names the place Peniel, meaning the face of God, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." It was in that place that Jacob had a name change, and he had his walk readjusted. It was a special place. In Joshua 4:19-24, after the Israelites crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land, Joshua, he sets up 12 stones as a memorial in a place that he named Gilgal. It was the name that commemorated the rolling away of Israel's reproach of Egypt. And future generations would look at those 12 stones stacked on one another, and they would ask, "What is this? And what is this place?" And their parents and their grandparents would be able to say, "This is the place where God renewed the covenant with his people." It was in Gilgal where the first Passover took place after they came into the Promised Land. Gilgal was the place where Joshua took that generation born in the wilderness, and he had them circumcised, renewing the covenant between God and Israel. Gilgal was the military staging ground for Joshua and the armies of Israel. It was from Gilgal that they would go out and conquer the land of Canaan. Gilgal is the place where Samuel anointed Saul as king over Israel. This place, it was special. Gilgal was special. Ebenezer is another place in 1 Samuel 7:12. After a victory over the Philistines, Samuel sets up a stone between Mizpah and Shem, and he names it Ebenezer. And in Hebrew, Ebenezer means stone of help. He declared, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." The stone at Ebenezer was a tangible reminder to the people of God that Jehovah had been their helper and their deliverer thus far. In Exodus 17 and 15, after Israel's victory over the Amalekites, Moses builds an altar and he names it Jehovah Nissi. It means the Lord is my banner. You see, Amalek had come against Israel in Rephidim. And Moses ascends to the top of the mountain. And there on top of the mountain, the Bible says he raised the rod of God. And when Moses would raise the rod of God, Israel would prevail over Amalek. And when his hand became weary and it lowered, Amalek would prevail over Israel. And during the course of the battle, two men, Aaron and Hur, they climb up that mountain and they find a stone and they dislodge it from its place. And they take that stone and they put it under the arm of Moses. They lodged that stone under Moses' arm so the rod of God would stay up. And the Bible says this, Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Thank God, Pastor Motes, there are Aarons and Hers in this church that get on each side of you. They raise your hands. They keep your hands lifted for the battle. And thank God for the victory. Thank God for Jehovah Nissi, our banner. Not only does Jehovah Nissi become the name of the physical location where Israel prevailed over the Amalekites, but it becomes an attribute or a name for God. The Lord is the one who gives victory. He, God alone, is the rallying cry and point for his people. And the altar at Jehovah Nissi stood as a testimony, letting everybody know, the enemy as well as the people of God, that God, Jehovah Nissi, God is the source of triumph and victory in battle. He is our banner. In Judges 6 and 24, after Gideon's encounter with the angel of the Lord, he builds an altar and he calls it Jehovah Shalom. It means the Lord is our peace. Now you got to understand why this is significant. Because when the angel finds Gideon, he finds a timid young man hiding behind a wine press, trying to get his wheat harvest together. And that angel looks at that young, timid man. He's not a fighter. He's not a warrior. He doesn't look like a leader at that moment. But God saw something in him and said, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. Because of that encounter with God. God assures Gideon that he's going to go with him, that they're going to be victorious. And because of that, Gideon names that place Jehovah Shalom. God is our peace. I want to tell you tonight that this place is the place where God brings peace and protection for his people. Oh, I wonder if I could get anybody to help me. Thank God for this place. Come on, could you praise him for this place? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our text comes from Genesis chapter 22. The preceding chapter is a chapter that tells us about a treaty that Abraham makes with Abimelech. And he makes this treaty in Beersheba. And then the Bible says that Abraham sojourns in the land of the Philistines for quite some time. And then we come to chapter 22. The Bible tells us that God tested Abraham. He tested him. He wanted to see the composition of this man. He wanted to see if this man could truly house the blessing and be the blessing. It was in this time that God was testing Abraham. Can you take care of the promise? Can you handle the blessing that I'm going to have on you? And God says to Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. And as Abraham had said before, here I am. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, the one that you love the most. And I want you to go up to Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. The Bible does not record that Abraham wept. It doesn't record that Abraham questioned God or that even Sarah was upset or questioning her husband Abraham. But the Bible does say that early in the morning, Abraham got up and he saddled his donkey and he took two of his servants with him and he took Isaac with him. And when he had cut the wood for the burnt offering, they started off into the place where God had spoken to him about. And the scripture says that on the third day, Abraham, he caught sight of the place where he was to offer the sacrifice. He told his servants, he said, servants, you stay here with the donkey while I and the lad go yonder to worship. And Abraham had faith. He said, and we will come back to you. Now I want you to understand tonight that Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering. He laid it upon the back of his only son. He laid it upon the back of that son of his old age. He laid it upon the back of that promise. He laid it upon the back of that one that God had said would be the one, the source for your nation to be born. And he took the fire in his hand and he had the knife and they went both of them up toward Mount Moriah. And Isaac, he looks around, there's no lamb. Evidently, he was very accustomed to sacrificing. And he says, Dad, there's no lamb here. And we've got wood and we've got fire, but where is the sacrifice? And I want you to hear what Abraham said to his son. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. They went up to the top of that mountain. And there, on top of that mountain, Abraham readies the altar. He lays the wood in order. And he takes that one and only son, Isaac, that beloved son. He places him upon that altar and he straps him down. He binds him down. And then Abraham, it's almost too difficult to even imagine what it would have felt like, what it would have looked like to see Abraham unsheathe that knife and draw that knife back, ready to kill what seemed to be his only promise. And as the knife came out, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." And the word says that Abraham looked around, and he looked behind him, and he saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and he took that ram and he took Isaac off the sacrifice, put that ram on the sacrifice, and he offered that burnt offering in the stead of his son. And here's what I want you to get. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh is a combination of two Hebrew words, and it means the Lord will provide, or the Lord will see to it. We know the name Jehovah. It's the covenant name of God. It emphasizes God's eternal, self-existent nature. Jehovah, when you say Jehovah, you are speaking of the faithfulness of God and his promises. And then you put the name Jireh with Jehovah. And Jireh comes from a root word that means to see. And in this context, it carries the meaning of to see to it or to provide. And so in that moment, there on top of Moriah, Abraham, he looks at what God has done. He looks at his son still alive. He sees the burnt offering. And in that moment, there is revelation that comes to Abraham. And he says, "This place will be named Jehovah Jireh. This place will be the place known that God provides." I want to tell you tonight, you are standing in Jehovah Jireh. You are standing in the place where God provides. This is the place where God provides. Genesis 22 and 14. And the name Jehovah Jireh encapsulates several important theological themes. Of course, the most obvious is God's provision. The immediate context emphasizes that God provides what is necessary in the right moment at the right time. And Abraham's faith led him to believe that even somehow or another, we know this from Hebrews chapter 11, that even somehow or another, even if he had to take the life of his son, that didn't mean that Isaac would stay dead. Because Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So in that immediate moment, Moriah became Jehovah Jireh. This is the place that God provides. But there's also an eschatological overtone. There is a prophetic overtone. There is a foreshadowing of another that would put wood on his back, and he would climb the Mount Moriah again. It would be a different one. It would be separated by hundreds of years, but there would be a man named Jesus Christ who would put a cross on his back, and he too would ascend Golgotha's hill and there provide himself a sacrifice, provide himself a lamb, Jesus, the substitute for humanity. Oh, I wonder if anybody is thankful tonight for the sacrifice Jesus made. Come on, are there any thankful people? Are there any thankful people tonight? Oh, hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. Mount Moriah has such great significance. Mount Moriah is not just a single peak, but it is an elongated ridge stretching from the north to the south. And it's a ridge that has the Mount of Olives and Mount Zion. It's an elevated ridge, 2,400 feet above sea level. The southern end of the ridge is the tallest. It's where the temple was built. It was on Mount Moriah that Abraham met Melchizedek. And there he paid Melchizedek his tithes. And Melchizedek gave him bread and wine and blessings. But even before Abraham's encounter with Melchizedek on Moriah, this place was of great importance. Jewish historians and tradition believe that it was on Mount Moriah where God first formed man. And thus it is considered the navel of the world. This was the elevated place that God instructed Abraham, as we've mentioned in our text tonight, to ascend in order to sacrifice Isaac. It was on this mountain that Abraham would worship God. It would be later on, many years later, in fact, that there would be a temple built on this Mount Moriah, and God would provide himself a sacrifice. Years would pass, and Jacob would be running for his life. And they say, tradition says that it was still on this ridge where Jacob encountered that heavenly staircase. It was in this same area of the country. Moriah was the place inhabited and controlled by the descendants of Cain called the Jebusites. And it was David, the courageous warrior king, who led an army of Israel up to Moriah, or Jebus as it was called, and conquered that land for Israel. But the actual summit of Moriah remained the property of a man named Ornan. He was a Jebusite. And it was after David took a forbidden census of the people and the judgment of pestilence came upon the people of God, and 70,000 lost their lives. And it was after this grave mistake of David that David said, I've got to do something. I've got to have something happen. We can't keep losing people. And he goes to Moriah. He goes up to that special place. And there he says, Ornan, I've got 600 shekels of gold. I'll buy it all. I'll buy the ground, the threshing floor, and the equipment. And with that equipment, he builds an altar to the Lord, and he begins to pray. He begins to intercede for Israel, and God stays the pestilence. It was on this elevated place that Solomon would build that great and majestic temple. It was this place where the Queen of Sheba would come and lose her breath over the beauty of the building. And hundreds of years later, it was Golgotha, like located on the side of Moriah, where Jesus would be crucified and he would become the ultimate provision in God's plan. This place is the place where the Lord will provide. I want you to understand. I want you to get the connection tonight. Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount, the Holy Hill, the church, Mount Zion. It's all the place where God will provide. But I want you to notice one more thing about our text tonight in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. I want you to notice the end of this scripture. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. This declaration is prophetic. It carries a prophetic tone. It shall be seen. God's provision will be experienced in the future, not just by Abraham, not just by Israel, but to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Listen to me tonight. The phrase, it shall be seen, can be understood as it will be provided, or it will appear. And on the day of Pentecost, it shall be seen, collided with, it shall come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It was the same Moriah. Hallelujah. The same place. This place is where the church had its first birthday. It's where the church was born. And I want to tell you tonight that this physical location right here on this beautiful Highway 70, right here in Hot Springs, Arkansas, this place is the place where God connects with humanity. Oh, Dad, what would Grandma think tonight if she could see what we're seeing tonight? She had the vision a long time ago. She had the vision a long time ago. It shall be seen, but it has come to pass. And here we are in this place where God provides. This place where God provides. This place, this is the place where salvation comes. The Holy Ghost is in this place. The power to live right is in this place. Healing is in this place. Peace is in this place. Deliverance is in this place. Direction for your life is in this place. Whatever you have need of, you can find it in this place. In this place. This is Jehovah Jireh. This place is Jehovah Jireh. Oh, I know the name says Calvary Pentecostal Church, but you can mark it out and put Jehovah Jireh right there, because this is the place. This is the place. This is the place. This is the place where God provides. Can I get a show of hands tonight? Are there any people in this house that need God to do something for you? Are there any people in this house tonight came with a need? I don't know what your need is. It may be healing. You may need more money in your bank account. You may need a job. I don't know what your need is, but I want to tell you, you're in the right place. This is Jehovah Jireh. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Woo! Let me tell you, God's got all the riches. He's got it all. I said, he's got it all. My God shall supply all your need. Hallelujah. As I was praying and preparing for this service, I couldn't help but be reminded of my grandmother, Grandma Holmes. She talked about the church being the supermarket. It was the place, she said, you can get your buggy and see her in my eye do it. Go up and down the aisles, get whatever you need. Just get it off. Hey, there's no scarcity in God's house. There's no food shortage. Whether the ports are closed or open does not matter in this place. It doesn't matter who's elected as president. It doesn't matter if the economy is up or down. In this place, God provides all of our needs. I've heard people discount local churches. Why did you spend all that money? Why did you build that? You could have given it away. Could have done something else. No, that's not how God wants it. He's still giving money away, but we're going to build a building because God needs a place. Come on. I understand that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, but our bodies have got to have a place to come to. Let me tell you tonight, the devil doesn't try to keep you from going to the supermarket or the big box store. The devil doesn't try to keep you from going to the lake or the ice cream shop, but I'll tell you where the devil will try to keep you from going. This place. He'll give you a flat tire, an ingrown toenail, a snotty kid, whatever he has to do to try to keep you out of this place. Why? Because this place is special. This place is where God connects. I'm done. Let me read one last verse of scripture. Nehemiah 1:9. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. And brothers and sisters, friends that have gathered in this building, God has chosen to set his name here in this place. This is Jehovah Jireh. This is the place where God provides. Come on, stand all over this house. Lift your hands toward heaven. Open up your mouth and begin to thank him for this place. Come on, thank him for being a provider. Thank him for being a way maker. Come on, this is a place where God provides. This is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. This place. Come on, step out of the pews. Come on, let's flood these altars, these aisles, and let's begin to praise him. Let's thank him for being our provider. Come on, let's thank him for being Jehovah Jireh. Let's thank him for this place being the place where God provides. Everything we need can be found in this place. Oh, I wish somebody'd celebrate this place. I wish somebody'd get happy.
You're in the place where the glory comes down. You're in the place where the drug addict gets free. You're in the place. You're in the place where victory comes. Oh, come on, reach over and join with a neighbor. Come on, I need somebody to come sing. Come on. Come on. Come on, come on. This place, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. This is a place God provides. God provides. Come on, brother. Whatever your need is, God will provide. Come on, sister. Whatever your need is, God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. Come on, somebody needs to stomp on the devil. Come on, come on. He's trying to keep you out of this place. You need to put him under your feet. Come on, come on.
My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs.